This is Joanna Schrader reporting for domesticfuel.com. And today I am with Andrew Holland, who is the Senior Fellow for Energy and Climate at the American Security Project. Andrew, how are you?
Good, Joanna. Thanks for having me.
Well, I have to say this is an apropos timing, since I went to fill up my gas tank this weekend and paid close to $4 a gallon. I have to ask, Andrew, my first question, and everybody wants to know this. Why is it that every single summer Memorial Day weekend hits and gas prices go up?
Well, Joanna, it's a good question, and there's unfortunately no easy answer. The easy answer is it's complicated. The major factor in the price of the gasoline you pay at the price is the international price of crude oil, and that fluctuates really out of prediction. It's very difficult to predict, but the most important part of that is what's going on in the Middle East, what's happening to production in Saudi Arabia, and that sort. But then when we talk about, the price right around this time, you also have to factor in refineries and how that all mixes in. Because what you have is you have a switchover from a winter blend of fuel to a summer blend of fuel. And in that time, you can sometimes get regional shortages and regional price differentials. And what we're seeing right now, especially in the Midwest, the American Midwest, is about, you're having a price spike because there's been a series of refinery outages or that sort that has caused the price of gas at the pump to go up. So, it has been for 7-8 years in a row now that this time of year we see the price go up, and it's a combination. You know, it's international factors combined with local and domestic factors. Oh, and never mind, it's demand. You know, this is also the time when the demand goes up as people drive for vacations and economic activity often picks up for the summertime.
Well, Andrew, let's say hypothetically in the next 10 to 15 years, America was able to become, we'll say, energy independent, but we'll use the definition of producing all of its own energy or the majority of its energy. Would you still see spikes in gasoline over the summer, or would our gas prices go down if that were to actually occur?
Well, I think that's two different questions. First, would you see spikes? I think yes, absolutely, because the demand profile isn't going to change. People want to drive for vacations this time of year. People want to there's going to be more economic activity, stuff like cutting of lawns and stuff like that that burns fuels. So the demand isn't going to change. And unfortunately, the supply profile won't change either, because even if the United States produces all of its own fuel from its own petroleum here in the United States, and that's really a long stretch to get there, but let's say, just for the sake of argument, that we do, we're still in a global market for oil. Basically, oil is, in the world, is all one big bathtub. The world produces somewhere in the range of 89 to 91 million barrels of oil per day. And basically, the difference in prices really just comes down to, around the world, comes down to a difference in taxes and subsidies and transportation costs. It's a very liquid global market. So if the price, again, back to our hypothetical argument, if suddenly we're producing all of our oil and the oil companies think they could get a better deal elsewhere, they're going to be shipping that refined product to Mexico or to South America or to Europe or to Asia. And that's going to level off the global prices, and there's very little we can do about that. So
now, Andrew, what can we do about that? We're sitting here as consumers. I personally filled up this weekend with E10 and threw in a gallon of E85 because it was $1.20 cheaper per gallon than the E10 blend. what can consumers do? You know, I think a lot of people, they can't afford to buy new cars right now. So how can we get some of our gas prices under control here? How do we support that lowering of gas prices?
Frankly, it's using less oil as a society and as individuals. You know, you mentioned can't afford to buy another car, and that's true. But people who do, people are buying buying new cars, and those cars do tend to be much more fuel efficient than previous cars, and that's driving down consumer demand. And those sorts of macro effects of, you know, if everybody demands less oil, that means the oil is going to be a little bit cheaper. So that's a good thing. And you know, frankly, it's finding alternatives. You mentioned E85. Certainly, ethanol already is about 10% of our gas supply, and that's an alternative to oil. When we can develop other sorts of drop-in biofuels, that's an alternative source of fuel that can provide an alternative. Electric cars, even mass transit, or frankly walking. You know, a lot of car trips don't actually need to happen. Some do, and you should pay for them. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, if you can mix them together or carpool or any other things, there are ways to reduce the amount of fuel we use.
Now, Andrew, I'm going to switch gears on you for a minute. And we hear a lot about the security implications of producing our own fuel here in America. You sort of talk about the environmental benefits, but for a minute, let's put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, when we're looking at the price at the pump, it's my understanding that what we don't see are sort of those indirect costs or the unintended consequence costs of fighting over oil in the mm-hmm. Middle East and the environmental consequences of our choice to burn fossil fuel. If we were to put those in to a price of fuel, to a gallon of fuel, how much mm-hmm. do you think we would have to pay at the pump?
You know, there's a very strong academic argument going on about this. It's called the social cost of carbon. And the question is, what are the externalities, what we call these externalities? So things like pollution, things like national security. You know, through our taxes, we pay for our military. We pay for our Navy to be policing the Straits of Hormuz to make sure that oil can come out of the Middle East and go to markets around the world, including our own. You know, we pay for these sorts of things through our taxes. If we internalize that into the cost of gasoline, you know, yeah, the academic argument goes from anywhere from $5 per ton up to $200 per ton and that's for carbon. So that adds up to anywhere, if I get it right, it adds up anywhere from something like 10 cents a gallon all the way up to $3-4 a gallon, doubling the price. So it's a pretty strong academic debate. But, you know, I kind of think there's a lot of, and this is beyond, you know, kind of what we talk about at ASP, but personally, I think there's a lot of good things to be said for a gas tax or a tax on crude oil that that raises the price somewhere in the range of 50 cents to a dollar per gallon. It, you know, incentivizes us to have alternatives. It makes sure that we, you know, that there's an incentive for producers to produce more fuel efficient cars. I think it's a good thing, and it's a win-win. We can do it by reducing our taxes elsewhere too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't have to be something where it's just more money out of everybody's pocket. If we increase the price of gasoline a dollar a gallon, but reduce everybody's payroll taxes by a similar amount, then it's a tax shift, and only the people who have to drive the most end up paying more. Most of us who drive less would pay much less.
So, Andrew, from the the position of the American Security Project as we look at the summer driving season, which will last through Labor Day weekend. What do you want consumers to know? What are you trying to tell consumers every time they go to that pump or they get in that car and they burn that gallon of gas?
Just remember that American men and women in the Navy, Marines, and Army and Air Force are ensuring the free flow of that oil around the world, and that even if the oil happens to come from North Dakota, the price of it is still dependent on the free flow of it around the world. So, you know, remember when you're paying the $3.80 or more per gallon, that it could be a lot more. Thinking about the military men and women standing guard on that.
Great, thanks, Andrew.
Okay, thank you very much.